every day the Holy Spirit of God would rain down upon his people and transform us and make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find today Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 is where we will begin. Joshua chapter 1. And while you're finding that portion of God's Word, I want to ask you to do your best to lock in on the message today. There are always distractions, but there's a major distraction in our minds today. We all know what it is. And a large number of our Lakeview family members are in Southern California getting ready for the big game tomorrow. And the rest of us will be glued to our television sets tomorrow night. But I know some of you came here thinking about that, because I came here this morning thinking about that. And I woke up at 3:30 this morning. You want your mind to go to Jesus when you wake up in the middle of the night. That's a good time to pray, good time to review scripture memory. My mind went to the ball game tomorrow night. And I said, Lord, I've got to preach tomorrow. I don't need to be thinking about a ball game. So I know if the devil's working on me about that, he's probably working on you. Now, it's not wrong to think about a ball game, but it's not good to think about the ball game while the pastor's opening the Word to us. So my prayer for you has been that God would give you grace for the next 40 or so minutes just to focus on the message that God has placed upon my heart for Lakeview Baptist Church on this first Sunday of the new year 2014. When I was in the first grade, there was a representative that came from the American Bible Society to my school and said, every first grader who will memorize John 3:16 and say it from memory correctly will receive a little paperback copy of the entire Gospel of John in the King James Version. And so I committed to memory that verse of Scripture. That's the very first verse of Scripture that I've ever memorized in my life. I still have in my files that little paperback copy of the Gospel of John that was given to me so many decades ago as a first grade child. When I was in the junior department, now, most of you don't know what the junior department was, but think 4th, 5th, 6th grade, somewhere along in there. My home church, First Baptist Florella, on Sunday nights we'd have, in our training union classes, we'd have scripture memory time and Bible sword drill time, and I was the sword drill champion for my church as a child. And one of the things we did is we would learn a verse of scripture every week. It'd be 52 verses in a year. And since then, I have committed to memory scores and scores of scripture verses, going all the way back to those early days, first as a first grader, and then as a child, as an older elementary child. It is with that in mind that I call your attention today to Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Today I want you to think with me about this subject, the Joshua mandate, why scripture memory matters. The Joshua mandate, why scripture memory matters. Now we're going to start here, but we're not going to end here. But let's look at these four verses of scripture. The background is Moses had died. The Lord had raised up Joshua to be the successor to Moses. Joshua was to go in and lead the people to fight the battles to possess the promised land, the land that God had promised to give to his chosen people, Israel. Now we pick up in verse 6, and this is what the Lord is saying to Joshua and through Joshua to the people. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. And here they are, poised to go in to begin to possess the promised land. And God says to their leader, Joshua, you need to be courageous. And you need to be strong. Don't let fear overtake you. And he says, as you go in, you need to, if you're going to be successful, you must obey me. You must not turn to the right or the left, but you must be laser focused on obeying the commands that I have given to you. And then he talks about the importance of the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God and assimilating the Word of God into our hearts and souls so that that Word might give us that courage and that strength to do all that God has called them to do. I call this the Joshua mandate. And the mandate that God gave to Joshua and through Joshua to his people some 3,000 years ago now is a mandate that God gives to every one of us down to this very day. It is a mandate to know the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God. Now, it is impossible to meditate on the Word of God unless we have committed it to our memory bank. And so this morning, I want you to think with me about why Scripture memory matters. And my prayer for all of us is that as a result of this worship hour today, that we will go from here with a fresh determination and a renewed zeal to make the memorization of God's Word a very high priority in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you this morning four, I believe, compelling reasons why Scripture memory matters. It matters to me, it matters to you, it matters to God, it matters to the health of the church, it matters to the proclamation of the gospel across our community and to the ends of the earth. The first one is this: memorizing Scripture strengthens obedience to God's commands. When we memorize Scripture, when we store it away in our hearts and minds, it strengthens our obedience, our resolve to be obedient to the commands that God has given to us, His children. Now look with me again in verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Now, that is a reference to what we would call the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament. The application today would not just be to those five books, but would be to all 66 books that make up the canon of Holy Scripture. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. When? Day and night. When the sun is shining, and when the sun has set and the moon is out. Meditate upon the Word of God in the daytime and in the nighttime. In other words, it is a 24-hour-a-day kind of proposition. Meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, don't think prosperity, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. That's not the way this word is used here. But you'll be successful in the mind of God, in the ways of God, in the things that really matter for eternity. Notice again in verse 8, the Scripture says there, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. We meditate on it, not just to say, well, I know 20 verses, I know 220 verses, or 520 verses. It's not a contest to see how many passages of Scripture we can commit to memory, but we commit the Word of God to memory in order that, look again in verse 8, in order that we may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, if you and I don't know God's commands, we cannot obey them. It's impossible to obey a command of God if we are in the dark about what that command might be. Now, that means we have to read the Scriptures, we have to study the Scriptures, we need to hear the Scriptures taught and preached as we do Sunday by Sunday, but there's more to it than that. We need to, according to verse 8, we need to meditate on it. You can't meditate on something unless you've committed it to memory. But when we have committed God's Word to memory and we meditate upon it, then it becomes, if you will, a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit to point us to obedience to God's commands. God doesn't give us suggestions, He gives us commands. And it's better to obey the commands of God than it is to give great sacrifice. That's what the Scripture teaches. So, we have these commands throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. We must know them. Let me just give you an example. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, love your neighbor is found in the book of Leviticus. But Jesus went on to say, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that's a command that makes us uncomfortable. It's just not natural for us to love our enemies. Somebody's defrauded us in some business transaction. Somebody's slandered our name. Somebody's done some harm to us in some way. But we are countercultural people. And we move in the realm of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit cannot take and use in our lives that which isn't already in our memory bank. But to know that Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, when it's committed to our memory bank, then the Spirit of God can give us grace in those times when somebody does something to us that's unjust. Let me give you another example. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now again, that is contrary to everything in our natural mindset. The natural man in the flesh is seeking to receive. But Jesus said, no, there's a greater blessing that comes not in giving than in receiving. And so when we have committed that to memory, then that's a tool the Spirit of God has to help us to become increasingly generous with the resources that God has committed to our care that we might obey Him in this dimension and therefore further the proclamation of the gospel. So, the first reason that you and I should take Scripture memory seriously is memorizing Scripture strengthens our obedience to God's commands. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. Do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, let me give you a second reason why you and I should take seriously this matter of committing God's Word to memory. Number two, memorizing Scripture furnishes a powerful weapon to resist Satan's temptations. We are tempted every day. If you're not aware of temptation on a daily basis, it's probably because you've already just succumbed to the adversary. He's got you lock, stock, and barrel. But we are tempted by the adversary. But to memorize Scripture gives us a powerful weapon. The weapon is the Word of God. A powerful weapon to resist Satan's temptations. Look, if you will, now in Psalm 119, verse 11. You're probably aware that this is the longest chapter in all the Bible, 176 verses. Psalm 119. A good portion, of it is about the importance of the Word of God, but we're just going to look in verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says here, we don't know who actually penned this particular psalm, perhaps David, perhaps someone else. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whoever penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit knew that the word of God committed to memory was a means to help him not succumb to the tempter's snare. So memorizing scripture is a powerful, powerful weapon to resist Satan's temptations. Now we see this fleshed out in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11 gives us an account of Jesus' encounter with Satan after his baptism at the hands of John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness, and there for 40 days and 40 nights he was fasting and seeking the mind of the Father for his soon-to-begin public ministry. And in Matthew chapter 4, we have Matthew's account of that. Look in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's an understatement. And the tempter, that's the devil, came to him and said, this is temptation number one. If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread. Now, that was a real temptation to Jesus. And notice how Jesus responded. Verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, where did Jesus get that statement? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Jesus dealt with the adversary and the adversary's temptation by quoting the word of God to him. It was a weapon in the arsenal of Jesus to overcome temptation. In verse 5. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Here comes the second temptation. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Here the devil takes scripture and twists it and abuses it. This is what the devil said, twisting Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Verse 7. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So when the second temptation came, again, Jesus encountered Satan's temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 8, third temptation. Again, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their splendor. And this is what he said. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And in response to the third temptation, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. So here's this showdown between Jesus and the devil. These were very real temptations in Jesus' humanity. But Jesus did not yield. He didn't equivocate. He emerged from that trial victorious. And the weapon that he relied upon to overcome the tempter was the Word of God. Most reliable scholars think that Jesus probably had memorized the entire New Testament. We have no way to know that. But he certainly knew Deuteronomy. Now, if God the Son, the one who is fully God and co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, had to commit Scripture to memory to walk in victory over Satan's temptations, how much more do you and I? You remember when Paul wrote the church in Ephesus and he was talking to them about the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual forces of evil in high places. And he listed the armor that we're to put on, and then he said that offensive piece of weapon is, he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Satan comes against us, we are to wield a sword against him. And the sword of the Spirit is the Old and New Testaments. But we can't wield the sword of the Spirit unless we know it. You know, temptation doesn't usually come when I happen to have my concordance with me along with my Bible. Temptation comes at all the wrong places. And if we haven't committed it to memory, then we are vulnerable to the tempter. Donald Whitney, professor at the Southern Baptist Seminary, has written a classic book, which I commend to you, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He said, and I quote, "The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit cannot give you a weapon you have not stored in the armory of your mind. Imagine yourself in the midst of a decision and needing guidance, or struggling with a difficult temptation and needing victory. The Holy Spirit rushes to your mental arsenal, flings open the door, but all he finds is John 3:16, Genesis 1:1, and the Great Commission. Those are great swords, but they're not made for every battle. And so we commit Scripture to memory because it gives us a weapon to use against the devil's temptations. Let me give you a couple examples. The matter of lust. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, she'll not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his heart. So, the temptation comes your way to lust. It's pretty easy for that one to come your way on a daily basis, right? In the society in which we find ourselves. What do? Are you at the mercy of the devil? No. We have the Word of God. If you have stored in your memory bank Job 31:1, you can say to the devil, quote, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And the devil flees. What about anger? The devil tries to tempt us to be angry, speak harsh words. If we've committed Proverbs 15:1 to memory, we just say to the devil, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we seek the gentle answer. This is the value of the Word of God when it comes to battling the temptations that beset us day in and day out. Let me give you a third reason why Scripture memory matters. Memorizing Scripture enhances our gospel witness. Look in 1 Peter 3:15. When we memorize Scripture, when we have the Word of God stored away in our heart and mind and soul, it gives us the truth that we need to enhance our gospel witness. Now, it's one thing to take a tract and read that tract to someone, and I've been a lot of people saved just reading the tract. But sometimes you need more than a tract. You need to engage people in some dialogue back and forth. Take their questions and give them solid answers. Now, that's what Peter says here in 1 Peter 3:15. Look in this verse. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Our hope is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Our hope is in His finished work on the cross and His resurrection. Our hope is in heaven. We're going to spend eternity with our Redeemer in heaven. We want as many people to go to heaven as we can take with us. That's why we share the gospel routinely. We want people to know the Jesus we know and to experience the forgiveness of sins that we experience. We want people to be with us in heaven, especially our loved ones, but others as well. But sometimes these people have questions, very legitimate questions. They have doubts that perhaps we don't struggle with. we need to be prepared to be able to give them answers to their questions. That's what he's saying here. Look again at verse 15. Always be prepared. In other words, let me go find my Bible and I'll come back. You may not have time to do that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. So how do we prepare ourselves for that? By committing the Word of God to memory. That's how. It enhances our witness of the gospel to those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what O.S. Hawkins said about Scripture memory. Scripture memorization enables us to take God's Word with us anywhere and everywhere without carrying our Bibles. It enables us to receive the Word into our hearts, retain it in our minds, recite it with our mouths that we might speak it with power. And therefore, Scripture memory matters because memorizing Scripture enhances our gospel witness. Let me give you a fourth and final reason why Scripture memory matters. Memorizing Scripture provides guidance for wise living. Look in Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. Memorizing Scripture provides guidance to us for wise living. Now, the Bible is a book of wisdom because it reveals the mind of God. God's wisdom is perfect. It is absolute. It is not suspect in any way. We can trust our eternal destiny on the wisdom found in the pages of Holy Scripture. Now, look in Proverbs 6. Verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life. So he's telling, this father is telling his son how to live in a wise way. And when he says in verse 21, bind them upon your heart forever, fasten them around your neck, he's saying, commit this wisdom to memory. Get it riveted down in your memory so that when temptation comes, when decision times comes, when the need for guidance comes, you will have it. He says in verse 22, when you walk, they will guide you. I need guidance. Within myself, I don't have what it takes to make wise decisions. I need wisdom from above, and wisdom from above has been promised to us and has been given to us in this book. This is no ordinary book. This is a book of wisdom. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. These commands are a lamp, and this teaching is a light. In other words, it guides our footsteps in the way in which we should go. And frankly, I need all the help I can get. Thank God we have a book of wisdom right here. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It is the mind of God, and therefore it is the wisdom of God. Dallas Willard recently went to be with the Lord. For many years, he was professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. Southern Baptist minister, written numerous books. Probably his most well-known book is entitled The Spirit of the Disciplines, another book I commend to your reading. Dallas Willard said about Scripture memory, and I quote, as a pastor, teacher, and counselor, I have repeatedly seen the transformation of inner and outer life that comes simply from memorization and meditation upon Scripture. Personally, I would never undertake to pastor a church or guide a program of Christian education that did not involve a continuous program of memorization of the choices, passages of Scripture for people of all ages. with that in mind that today I am announcing that God has placed upon my heart that throughout this year, beginning this first full week of 2014, I'm asking you to join me in committing to memory one verse of Scripture a week. 52 verses of Scripture that every believer should know. Now you say, well, Pastor, who gets to decide? I do. And it's not an easy decision. You know, I'm looking at hundreds of verses and I'm going to pare it down. We got to start somewhere. 52 verses that every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ should know. And so I'm asking you to take seriously this Joshua mandate and join me in committing one verse of Scripture to memory every week in 2014. The first verse is Genesis 1:1. We all already know that one anyway, so you only have 51 to go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In your worship building today, if you got one, if you didn't, please get one on the way out. Is that verse, a little insert, and a brief commentary that I wrote a few days ago. I'm going to give you a verse every week on Sunday with a brief commentary. Let's just take a moment and look at it today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. The first sentence in the Bible sets the stage for everything that follows. The Bible is a book about God, who He is and what He has done. God is the eternal one who was in the beginning. God Himself has no beginning. In eternity past, God was present. In eternity future, God is present. He has neither beginning nor ending. With God, all is an eternal now. He exists above time, yet He created time. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's just simple Bible doctrine right there. So many people don't know that. Next paragraph, our God who is eternal created the heavens and the earth. That is, He alone both designed the entire universe and caused it to come into existence from nothing. We learn in the remainder of Genesis chapter 1 that He created the universe by His word. And God said, let there be, and that's found in verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, and 29. The apostle John wrote, through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. John 1:3, all of creation, from the most glorious heavenly body to the smallest cell, has its origin in the creative word of God the Father, Son, and Spirit. As the psalmist wrote, He has made us and not we ourselves. There is no place in Holy Scripture for a naturalistic explanation of the origin of the universe. God and God alone created everything that exists, and He did so for His own glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. And just pause and say here, any naturalistic explanation of the universe is unbecoming of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Final paragraph. A correct understanding of the doctrine of creation is foundational to an understanding of God's plan of redemption and restoration from the fall. Failure to grasp this glorious truth will result in doctrinal error and other Christian doctrines. Therefore, let us affirm without hesitation or equivocation that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There it is. That's a good one to start right there. I'll have another one next Sunday. Perhaps you're asking the question, Pastor, which version are we going to use? I think you ought to use the one of your choice. I'm going to use the NIV because that's what I've been memorizing Scripture from now for 40 years. When I was a kid, all I had was the King James Version, and I learned a lot of Scripture in King James. If you like some other version, have at it. I want you to be happy with what you're memorizing. We all have our preferences, don't we? Now, some of you are saying, well, that's well and good, but I can't memorize anything. I have trouble with my memory. And you know, I do too. And the older I get, the more trouble I have. Boys and girls, if you're 12 or under, easier for you to memorize in the first 12 years of your life than it'll ever be after that. It's not impossible after 12, it's just harder. You ought to be soaking up those Bible verses. How many, Miss Patty, do we do for the gold medals? 176. You can do that. Many of our boys and girls have done that. 176 verses through the grades 1 through 6. Some of you are thinking, you know, Pastor, that's good, but not for me. I just can't do it. Let me ask you this. If I was a multimillionaire and I said to you, I'll give you $1,000 for every verse you memorize between now and next Sunday, how many of you think you could memorize between now and next Sunday? $5,000 worth? $10,000 worth? $100,000 worth? We do what we want to, don't we? Yeah. We do what we want to. All right, four practical aids to memorizing Scripture. And then we're done. This has worked for me for decades. Number one, write it down. I write it on 3x5 index cards. I write the passage on one side and the reference on the other. Write it down. I carry it with me in my shirt pocket. I pull it out, traffic stops, waiting in some lobby somewhere, some waiting room. I don't want to be crude, but you can memorize Scripture when you're going to the men's room or the ladies' room. If I offended you, I ask your indulgence, but that's a good time to work on your Scripture memory. Put it on your shaving mirror. Make it a priority. But it starts writing it down. Number two, say it aloud, phrase by phrase, to a word perfect. Say it aloud, phrase by phrase. In the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. Do you get that down? God created, God created, God created. In the beginning, God created. It's phrase by phrase. Do you get it down? It's important to seek to learn it word perfect. It's easier that way than just sort of absorb a little, you know, the general idea. Three, say it to another person. Repeat it. Once you've learned it, say it to another person. Ask them to check you on that. This is a wonderful thing for parents to do with their sons and daughters at mealtime. And mom and dad, you don't really have much of a leg to stand on when you ask your sons and daughters to commit Scripture to memory if you're unwilling to do that yourself, do you? Make it a family activity, something you do together. After all, did not the Lord say to Moses in Deuteronomy, when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the way, teach them the Word of God? And then number four, review, review, review. There's no substitute for reviewing what you've learned. If you review it, you retain it. If you don't review it, you lose it. And set your own review schedule. But review it. We learn by repetition. Coaches know that athletes learn a particular skill in their particular position by repetition. You do it right, and you do it right over and over and over till it becomes second nature. We review. We retain. You say it out loud. You read it out loud long enough to yourself. You have it. 40 years ago, there was a commercial that said, "Press has been shown to be an effective decay preventivist that can be of significant value when using a consciously applied program of oral hygiene and regular professional care." I learned it 40 years ago. I didn't try to learn it. I'm not even proud I learned it. But I heard that Crest commercial so many times, it stuck. How about one more from 40 years ago? two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I'm not fond of a Big Mac, but I know the Big Mac's saying, and I didn't try to memorize it either. A couple summers ago, I was on sabbatical leave in Vancouver. I was studying the Old Testament book of Judges and Ruth with Old Testament scholar Bruce Walkie, one of the premier Old Testament scholars of the last generation. Now a man 80 years of age, widely published scholarly books on the Old Testament. I want to read you something that he wrote that happened to him in 1970. This was 44 years ago. He said, in 1970, I was on a postdoctoral fellowship in Israel. As the Lord directed our steps as a family, we rented an apartment across the hallway from an elderly Jewish couple, both of whom had taught Hebrew, that's the Hebrew language, in Boston. We quickly struck up a friendship. He was conversant in modern Hebrew, and I was not. So every day we would read modern Hebrew text together for an hour or two. He says there are about 30,000 words in modern Hebrew not found in biblical Hebrew. But if I came across a word I didn't know that was also found in the Hebrew Bible, he would say, "Bruce, you ought to know that word." And then he'd cite or recite the entire chapter in Hebrew until he got to the word he was looking for. One time I said to this man, who was then about 75, "I think you could recite the whole book of Psalms in Hebrew from memory." He said, "I can." I asked, "How long would it take?" He said, "2 hours. I said, "Would you be willing to chant the text while I followed in my Hebrew Bible?" He said, "I'd love it." So I sat down for 2 hours and he recited the entire text. He never missed a vowel in the entire book of Psalms. On another occasion, he was taking me through Exodus 21 and 22 from memory to find a word that occurs only 3 times in the whole Old Testament. I said, "I think you can recite the entire Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy, from memory." He said, "I can." But I didn't challenge him. At this time, my friend was an atheist. He could recite all the Torah, he could recite all the Psalms in the original text, but he didn't even believe in God. Now that sword cuts two ways, doesn't it? You can memorize the whole Word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the last chapter in the Revelation and go to the lake of fire because you didn't bow your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin. I expect Satan has committed the entire Bible to memory, don't you? I think he probably has. But we know what his destiny is. And the other way it cuts is, if an Israeli atheist can commit so much of Scripture to memory, what's our excuse? Because we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and he doesn't. So I'm going to invite you to join your pastor on a different kind of journey than we've ever had in all the years I've been your pastor. We're going to do the Joshua mandate together, starting today with Genesis 1:1. I'm going to pray for God to give all of us the grace we need to hide God's Word. Be a fun journey. It's going to be exciting to see what God does to mold us and to shape us. And to make us like Jesus. So that when we come to January 1, 2015, if Jesus doesn't come first, and we hope he does. We hope he does because heaven is so glorious. We hope he does because some people that we love a lot. this fellowship in other places. But if Jesus tarries, we get to the next year, we're going to be more like him because we've hidden God's word in our hearts. Let's do it together for the glory of our King. God, our Father, thank you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us grace to treasure the word of God. And not, Lord God, just master the word, but be mastered by the word. To be increasingly conformed to the likeness and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for all of us, this frail pastor, and this flock. God, give us a hunger to know you through your word. And God, give us grace to remember the word. Lord, I pray for the little boys and girls. It's so easy for them to learn it. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are near the end of the journey. We'd never quit seeking to learn the word of God. Give us grace, God. Whatever our study.